The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, we are back again, and so many of you have written in about what your favorite ice cream is, and we're going to get to that in just a second, but I need to keep my morning moving along. I am so happy that our state treasurer, Curtis Loftus, is on the line with me. I'm a huge fan. Curtis does a great job for South Carolina. He asks the questions that nobody else wants to ask, and he doesn't back down. So, Curtis, thank you for joining me today. I also know that it is Financial Literacy Month. Tell us a little bit what's going on. Welcome, South Carolina Treasurer Curtis Loftus.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
I'm good.
The best thing I can, the most appropriate financial tip I can give you is spend all your money on ice cream. You can never go wrong.
You know, the bad news is, okay, I got to tell you a quick story. So when I was younger, my parents were like, yeah, you can go work at this ice cream shop, thinking that I wouldn't like ice cream when we were done. And then by the end of summer, we're looking at like 15 pounds later. My mom and dad were like, that was a mistake. I adore this stuff. So, yeah.
I worked at the Dairy Queen when I was 16. Of course, I was about 6 feet, 140 pounds, trying to play football, right? Skinny as a rail, got a job, and they would let us have all the free ice cream because they knew you'd get sick of it.
Yeah.
The day I left there, a year later, I was sitting in the cooler eating sundaes, still weighed about 145 pounds.
Yeah.
It had a delayed effect of about 20 years, and boy, did it catch up.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I was going to ask you at the end, but let's start with it. If you could create a flavor, what would it be?
Oh, God. I mean, I truly like it all. If somebody said to me, my doctor said, Curtis, you got 6 months to go, I would eat ice cream every day. I mean, and then they'd find out it's a cure for everything.
Yeah.
But, of course, you weigh 600 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a trade-off.
Oh, funny.
There you go.
All right, so what's going on
financial
in the state?
Literacy.
Yeah, what we got?
Financial literacy is so important to me. You know, when I came into the office shortly after the 2008-09 financial crisis, there's no end to the economists telling me all the great, complicated reasons why we had a collapse. Well, after studying it for 4 or 5 years, it was all bull. The reason we had a great economic collapse, what they call it, dislocation, right? It's much nicer to call it that. It's because everybody thought we could live in mansions. We all thought we could have the big house with a pool and two nice cars and do whatever we wanted on our limited salaries. And when the bubble burst, it took us all with it. Well, it's basic financial literacy, something the schools don't teach much of, something we don't talk about in culture, but it's so important. And that's one reason we jumped onto the treasurer's office, and we try to talk about financial literacy at every opportunity.
So when you're talking about financial literacy, are you just talking about saving, how a credit card works? I've always found it amazing, Curtis, how people are like, credit card, yeah, I got all this money. You know, you got to pay it back. And it's like this light comes on, like, I got to pay it back. Yeah. And if you don't, they wallop you. And then kids,
yeah,
whose either parents didn't explain it or nobody else did, they're walking around with a debt that's just, it's crushing.
Yes, and it all comes from this. Basically, we ignore it. In school, they are supposed to teach it, but it's like all the other things in school. They have about 100 subjects a day to teach, and they've got time for 5 or 6, so it just doesn't get taught very often. So what we've done is we started a program where we teach the teachers, and we try to encourage them to talk about financial literacy inside the schools. And we're taking a revolutionary stance on this. We've raised private dollars from banks, and we actually pay them. So it's a little bit like selling Tupperware or Mary Kay. You get into it, you get a stipend after you pass your class. Then you go back to your schools, you teach some folks. You get a bigger stipend because you taught them, and then they start getting a stipend. And so, you know, it goes on down the hill. So we started off with, I don't know, 50, and then we included by more than 50 each year, and then, of course, they go out, and they're our acolytes. So it's really mushrooming, and, of course, we got to keep raising money. But it's well worth doing because it incorporates financial literacy into math class or English class or whatever. It's easy to do once you're clued into it.
Yeah. Curtis, who taught you about financial literacy?
Myself. I mean, you know, we're the same way. We didn't do much of that. Now, I was fortunate. I'm old enough. I can remember riding around with my dad at a service business, and he would give somebody a $20 bill and got back change. Well, now kids never see change. They see a credit card slip.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
So it's easy to say, well, you don't know anything about money. Well, money, I've never even seen it. You know,
yeah. And now they pay with their phone. Half of my clients pay me on Venmo.
Yeah, I go out to grammar schools and places like that because we give out awards for these teachers. Because I mean, these teachers are great. They want to do the right thing all the time. Of course, administrations get in the way, but the teachers know what kids need, right?
Yeah.
And so we go out and we'll have 300 or 400 kids out there in that auditorium, and I get to talk to them. We talk about wants and needs. You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
Take a bunch of third and fourth graders, throw up a slide of like some Chucks, you know, the Converse shoes that you and I used to wear as kids. It cost $10.
Yep.
And then show up some Air Jordans, I don't even know the call of things, that are $600. Every boy will stand up and say, that's a need. And all the girls will stand up and say, the Chucks are a want.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, the Chucks are a need. They're just reversed, right?
Right, right.
But by the end of the day, they all get it.
Yeah.
They may not have learned the lesson, but they get the difference between a want and a need. And so those kinds of things we talk about. Talk about budgeting, and we talk about savings. When we talk to parents, we say things like, when your kid says, I want this, turn that into, well, okay, let's start saving for it now.
Yeah.
Even if you can easily afford it, make them wait 2 weeks, make them save, even if it's a dollar toward a $5 item or $10 item, doesn't matter. It's these little things. There are tons of resources. State Treasurer's Office, we have a bunch online.
Okay.
But you can just Google it, you know. There are lots of free video games that Visa, MasterCard, and banks and all have. You go online and get those, and kids can, you know, they play a game, and financial literacy is incorporated into it.
Yeah.
And so it works out really well.
Good, good, good. I know that you're going across the state and you're speaking to a lot of Republican groups. What is your main topic right now?
Well, that's a hard one.
Okay.
You know, there's a bunch of county conventions, and it's really hard to talk about things now. Because one of the things one reason I'm always kneeling at before Deb Sofield is because you find the positive in everything, and that is something that I admire so much. But as a conservative, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
We have big majorities in the House and the Senate. We have the governor's mansion. We have all the constitutional officers. And I keep asking myself, what are we getting out of it?
Mm.
We're just not getting anything out of it. The left is getting what they want. They get all their programs fully funded, universities, and bigger education, which means less of the things, less financial literacy and more crazy stuff. But what do we get? And so we did get a large abortion bill. And it's going to be tied up in court forever. I mean, I'm thankful for it, but, you know, I don't know if it'll ever come around. And then there's a gun bill passed in the House that I understand the Senate may take up next year.
Yeah.
So, again, what's the point?
Well, you know,
we're
going to run out of time here, Curtis, but you're exactly right. What we're seeing is Democrats stay together. Republicans seem to always want to splinter, and here we are, and things don't get done. And like you said, we're in charge of it all. We only have ourselves to blame.
That's right. We're letting the Chamber of Commerce type. I'm not only the Chamber of Commerce, Inc., but we let the Chamber of Commerce, outside corporations and things, outside of the state, we let them run what we do too much.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. We've got to think about the people of the state. We're Republicans. We're conservative. We deserve some Republican or conservative outcomes, and we're just not getting them.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to talk to you at the end of the month when I'm back again. My favorite treasurer in the nation, the Honorable Curtis Loftus of the great state of South Carolina. Hey, friend, thanks for joining me this morning.